Thank you for downloading today's podcast from Pastor Cheryl Brady. We pray that you'll be blessed, renewed, and revived by this powerful message.
Teach us, O God. Show us your way. Show us what is right. You have to have your own value system. What are your standards? What are your standards? Your kid brings home a D and you're like, wow, okay. Well, you know that's not good, right? But you know what you need to say? Look, baby, we got to find out why you're bringing home a D. Okay, because you can't, it's not right for you to have to struggle your whole, if you don't get it right here, you're not going to go any further. You're going to struggle there, and you're going to struggle there, and you're going to struggle there. So let's slow down, and let's find out how come you're getting this. Amen. Train up a child. It's still our job, parents. I said it's still our job. It's our job. And sometimes it's not because they're rebellious. And sometimes it's not because they don't listen and they don't apply themselves. Sometimes there's just a little thing. And if you could just fix that one little learning curve, so you don't need to make them feel like idiots. But let's pull them aside and say, come on, I'm in this with you. We're going to find out how you can conquer this. And the next thing you know, their confidence level goes up. And it goes up because they believe in themselves. And they believe in themselves because you believed in them as a parent or as a friend or as somebody in their life. You said, I knew you had it in you. I knew you could do it. And so then they go out and they become what God has called them to become because they realize that the hand of God is on their life and they are special. They're not an idiot. They're not a reject. They're not kicked to the curb while we're out doing everything else. No, we build up their confidence. If we don't help this next generation, I don't know what's going to become of the world. The world has standards. As a matter of fact, most of the people in the world are after three things. They're after the value of pleasure because they want to feel good. They're after the value of possessions. They want to be wealthy and they want to be surrounded by things. Because if they, whatever they surround themselves with in things, it makes up for who they are not on the inside. Or they want the value of power. So they want the value of pleasure, the value of possessions, and the value of power. In other words, I want to be more famous. I want more prestige. I want to have more influence. All of these things. These are the things that, these are the world's standards. And the reason that they want these things is because it is their value system. So by the world's standards, Moses was there. Moses had made it. He had arrived. He had it going on because he had all of those things. He had the value of pleasure, the value of possessions, and he also had the value of power. He had all of those things happening in his life. And yet, what he chose to do, he chose to do it. He said, I choose to walk away from all of it and go and live with a bunch of slaves. You're giving up power to go live with slaves. You're giving up possession to go live with slaves. You're giving up all of this stuff in the palace to go out there and live with a slave. Who in the world would do that? Someone with a different value system. That's who would do that. And Moses realized that there were things that were more important than pleasure. There were things that were more important than possessions. There are things that were more important than power. And he knew none of them would last. So he gave up power. He gave up pleasure. He gave up possessions. You know what he gave it up for? He gave it up for purpose. Because when pleasure runs out, and when power runs out, and when your possessions run out, purpose will continue to run on. So Moses made three decisions. He did three things that were so important that we are talking about him here today. For had he not made that decision, then we would be like Moses. Okay, who's Moses? Moses who? Because he would be a mummy somewhere over in King Tut's whatever tomb. But because he made three very important decisions, now we know who Moses is. Verse 24 says, by faith Moses, when he grew up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Listen here. The son of Pharaoh's daughter was a symbol of status. Okay? Status. Somebody say status. status. That means you're somebody. There are certain credit cards, when you pull them out, they don't have to say nothing. You don't have to say nothing because they tell us who you are. Okay? There are other credit cards that tell us who you are too. Sorry, I didn't mean to say that. He was the second in command, okay? He was the up-and-coming leader of Egypt. His picture was probably all over the front page of the Jerusalem Morning News. He was somebody. He was well known. He had people that would bow before him. He had status. He was popular. He had so much popularity that people would have given their right arm to be him. But Moses knew that purpose was more valuable than popularity. He knew that popularity wouldn't last, but purpose would last. And the thing I love about Moses is he wasn't impressed with titles, and he wasn't impressed with positions, and he wasn't impressed with possessions. He said, look, I'd rather be a slave and fulfill God's purpose for my life than to be a king in Egypt without a purpose for my life. So what are the decisions? The first decision that he made that makes us still talk about him today is he decided that God's purpose was more valuable than popularity. Let me tell you something. The purpose of God will last when your popularity is long gone. And I don't care how popular you are today. Things do change. Seasons do change. So don't run after popularity. Run after the purpose of God. He made a decision and said, God's purpose for me is more important than my popularity. The second decision he made, he decided that people were more valuable than pleasures. People were more valuable than pleasures. Verse 25, he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, who at this point in their life, they were slave labor in Egypt and they were building pyramids, but he chose to be mistreated with them rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season or for a short time. So Moses was living a lifestyle of luxury. He was on easy street. He was treated like royalty. Whatever he wanted, everything that he needed, it was all right there. If he wanted his grapes to be peeled, somebody would have peeled his grapes. But the problem is, he had all of that going on. But the problem is, he heard the cries of God's people. And so in order to do what was right, he said, I'll choose discomfort over comfort. I'll choose pain over pleasure. Why would he do that? Because he knew that pleasure, like popularity, would only last for a season. Yes, sin has its pleasure. And some people are like, yes, and I'm going to get my season. I want my season of sin. Don't bother me. Don't preach to me. Don't convict me. I want my season. Well, go ahead. Just know that it only has pleasure for a season. In other words, have all the kicks you want to have. But trust me on this. It is going to kick you back. Oh, I said sin will kick you back. See, we don't even preach about sin in the church anymore. But I'm telling you, go ahead, have your little pleasure. But expect this, it will kick you back. There is pleasure in sin for a season. And if you insist on having it, then you need to, I insist that you remember that whatever you sow is what you are going to reap. And the payoff is never worth the pleasure. Oh, can I have some people that are honest? The payoff of sin is never worth the pleasure. Look at somebody on both sides and tell them it ain't worth it, it ain't worth it. It ain't worth it, it ain't worth it. Moses said, I'm just going to do what I'm going to go with God, because people are more important than pleasures, and purpose is more important than possessions. Verse 24, look at here. He rejects the world. He rejects the world. And so there he rejects their measure. And the way he rejected their measure is because by being the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he would have had a measurable status. But when he made the decision, I choose to reject you, in that verse 24, he rejects the world's measure. Verse 25, he rejects the world's pleasure. He said, I know sin has its pleasure for a season, but I don't want mine. And then in verse 26, he rejects the world's treasure. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as greater value than the treasures of Egypt. Oh, this takes me to number three. His third decision that made him have an effective life is what? Lord Jesus. This is his decision. He decided that God's peace was more valuable than his possessions. You know, there are people that live in big homes, beautiful big homes. Furniture, beautiful, everything suggests peace. But when they lay down at night, they can't even sleep because they don't have any peace. Let me tell you today that there is no peace that is any greater than to know that you are smack dab in the middle of the will of God for your life. No peace is any greater. Let me tell you something. Peace, tell your neighbor, peace is priceless. That means you might be able to buy happiness. You might be able to buy a good time. You might be able to buy some good friends to go out with you to have a good time. But at the end of the day, what you cannot buy is peace. You cannot buy peace of mind. Peace of mind is priceless, and it is so sad. But the world is full of people with a lot to live on and very little to live for. They got all kinds of money to live on, but they don't have anything worth living for, because the Bible said that a man's life does not consist of the abundance of things that he possesses. That's why Moses was saying, I'd rather have peace than possessions. I'd rather have peace than pleasure. So then what do you want us to do, Pastor Brady? Sell everything we got and live in poverty? Absolutely not. Wealth in and of itself is neutral. It's not bad. It's not good. A lot of great people in the scripture were very, very wealthy. So what are you saying? I am saying to you that what really matters is the values that you have. It's the values that you have. See, we are supposed to love people and use things, but we got it twisted today. Instead, we are loving things and we use people. We love things so much that we use people to manipulate, to get exactly what we want out of them. And Moses said, God's peace is more valuable to me than my possessions are. And so Moses gave up those three things that most people spend their entire life trying to get. Why did he do that? Why did he reject the power, the pleasures, and the possessions? Verse 26, the B clause. Because he was looking ahead to his reward. He was looking ahead to a better day. Lord, have mercy. If all you live for is today, I said, if all you live for is today, then what are you going to do when you get into your tomorrow? See, he knew that his reward was ahead of him. That meant that he had a greater perspective than just the present moment. He could see further than just the moment he was in. His vision went beyond just the here and the now. He was looking at more than just the present. He was looking at the future. He was living in light of eternity. So I want you to write this down. Take a second and just tell it to you so you can write it, because I'm almost done. I want you to get this. Your happiness is determined by your character. Yeah. Write that down. Your happiness is determined by your character. And your character is determined by your choices. Let me repeat that. Your happiness is determined by your character. Your character is determined by your choices. Your choices are determined by your values. Your choices are determined by your values. Again, your happiness is determined by your character. Your character is determined by your choices. Your choices are determined by your values. And your values are determined by your vision. I said, your values are determined by your vision. They are determined by what you're looking at, whatever your focus is on, whatever you have your eyes on. Moses had his values right. And because his values was right, his vision was right. And so now this brings me to the fourth secret of living an effective life. What's number one? What's number two? What's number three? I thought y'all really got it, and I just looked up there, and I'm like, y'all are reading what's on the board. You got it, though. I know you got it. Be yourself. Accept responsibility for your own life. Establish a value system, and everybody ought to walk out of here today and establish a value system. Number four, never take your eyes off the goal. That's my last point. Never take your eyes off the goal. Verse 27, the Bible says, by faith, he left Egypt. He made a decision. He chose to get up out of there, and he left Egypt, and he didn't care what the king thought about him. He said, I ain't scared of that king. He persevered. Why did he do it? Because the Bible said that he saw him who is invisible. Circle that word, saw. He saw him who was invisible. Who did he see that was invisible? You want me to tell you? He saw God. He saw Jesus Christ before Jesus Christ ever came down into the earth realm. He saw God. Moses never took his eye. He didn't care what Pharaoh thought. He didn't care what his daughter thought. He didn't care that they might be coming after him. He said, I ain't scared of none of y'all because I got my eyes on God. Did he have problems? Yes, he did. Did he have distractions? Of course he did. But you know what? You never make progress without problems. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Whatever, if you show me somebody that's made progress, I'll show you somebody that's had to push their way through some problems, because we never, N-E-V-E-R, make progress without problems. There were enormous problems in the purpose of God's will for Moses' life. I mean, how do you think he transported 2 million Jews out of one country across the most desolate piece of land in the entire world without food and without water and still get them to the edge of the promised land? How do you think he did that? How do you think he even convinced Pharaoh that he had 2 million slaves that he needed to let go of? There are enormous problems with the purpose of God that God gave Moses. But what I love about it is he persevered. And the reason he persevered is because he kept his eye, he kept his focus, not on the problems, but he kept his focus on God. The problems were happening all around him, but he just kept his face set like a flint. He kept his eyes on God. You know, the Apostle Paul talked about that right there in 2 Corinthians 4:17. He said, for our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He's saying God's purpose for your life is always greater than the problems in your life. I said God's purpose for your life is always greater than the problems that are in your life. And so the problems that you might be facing right now, you got to understand, you got to get an eternal perspective. You got to look at the long range benefits, because if you choose to look at the short range problem, you're going to be discouraged. But if you look at the long range benefits in your life, you're going to see the purpose of God and you will not be discouraged. Therefore, verse 18, 2 Corinthians 4:18, therefore, he said, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but we fix our eyes on that which is unseen. For that which is seen is temporary, but that which is unseen is eternal. Paul is saying the things that you don't see are going to outlast the things that you do see. Woo! The things that you don't see right now, they are going to outlast those few little troubles that you are seeing, because the unseen always outlasts the seen. That's why verse 27 says he left Egypt. He didn't care about the wrath of the king, and he just endured as seeing him who is invisible. What does that mean? He had his eyes on the Lord. He had his eyes on the prize. Slap somebody, tell him, get your eyes on the prize. Woo! Get your eyes on the prize. And I'll close with this. Here's what I want you to notice in Hebrews 11. There are five key words that sum up the life of Moses in this little passage that we read today. Verse 24, he refused. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 25, he chose. He chose to join himself with the suffering people of God rather than live in Egypt and be a liar. He refused, he chose, he regarded, and he saw. And then the last one is in verse 20. Regarded is in verse 26, if you're keeping notes. Verse 27, he saw and he endured. So Moses refused. He refused to compromise. He chose to take the harder road. He regarded, he saw, and he endured. What did he endure? He endured 2 million spiritual crybabies. That's what he endured. Can you imagine? 2 million crybabies. He endured their complaints. He endured their grumbling. He endured their griping. He was just trying to help them, but they were a faithless generation. He endured all of that. But you know what? More than anything, he endured the waiting process. Have you ever had to wait on God? There were so many delays in Moses' story. God had promised Moses that he was going to use him, that he had a goal for him. He said, Moses, when Moses was just a young man, he gave him a goal. He said, you are going to deliver an entire nation of people. But what God didn't tell him is that it was going to take him 80 years to do it. How would you like to spend 80 years waiting on the Lord? Whew. I mean, okay, let's forget 40 of those years. Let's just look at the 40 years that he spent waiting in the wilderness. All the while, things are getting worse. Can you imagine his conversation with God? Hello, Lord, it's me again. And God is like, yes, Moses. Moses is like, is it time yet? Can I get started on this thing that you promised me yet? And God's like, no, not yet, Moses. Not yet. You come back 20 years later. Hello, Lord. Look, I'm getting a little old. And my people are dying. You know, they're dying. And it's not getting any better in Egypt. Come on, God. I think this is really good timing. Perfect timing, okay? Let's get this party started. And God said, it ain't time yet, Moses. And think about it. For 14,600 days, Moses would say, is it time? And God would say, no, it's not time yet. Waiting is no easy task. And one of the greatest tests of your faith is how long you can wait for God to answer your prayer. How long can you wait for a healing? How long can you wait for the promise that was given to you to come to pass? Do you just give up when he doesn't answer immediately? Do you get discouraged when you are met with delays? I think we all do at some point. But God's delays are not denials. I said God's delays are not denials. He has every intention of fulfilling every promise that he made to you. And he will do it. But he'll do it in his time. Yeah, in his time. You want it in his time too, by the way. Because if you get anything earlier, it's premature, and you got to put it on life support, and that's costly. Because it ain't ready yet. But what happens if while I'm waiting, I find myself in a place of discouragement? How do I overcome the discouragement of waiting on the Lord? It's really pretty simple. You do it by renewing your vision, remembering what God said to you, and getting your eyes back on the goal and off of the clock. See, when our eyes are on the clock, we become conscious of all of the time. But if you'll just keep your eyes on the goal, he promises to get you there. I said he promises. Look at somebody and tell him he'll get you there. So I want to close today by just running up maybe to Hebrews 12 and reading you that first verse. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Who is he talking about? He's talking about all the people in the previous chapter. He's talking about God's hall of fame. He's talking about all the great men and women that have died in the faith. And what he's saying there is, in light of all of those who have gone on before you, run your race. Look at somebody, tell them, run your race. We have been encompassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. They are in the grandstands of heaven, and they are leaning over the balconies of heaven saying, come on, Cheryl, you can take it. Run your race. Girl, it's going to be worth it when you cross the finish line. Run. Don't you dare give up. Lay aside the weight. Lay aside the sin that doth so easily beset you, and let us run with patience the race that has been set before us, and let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. I said he endured the cross. Why? Because of the joy that was set before him. He didn't just go to the cross because crosses were cool and it was a comfortable thing to do. Absolutely not. He went to the cross and he looked beyond all of the pain that he felt at the moment, and he passed up the pain because he knew that that because of his sacrifice, that millions of people would come to God in salvation. And so because of that, he said, I'm going to go to the cross, not because it's comfortable, but I'm going because I know that the result will be millions of people that will be saved. And because people are more important than possessions, and people are more, see, I'm telling you, there's a parallel right there with the life of Moses and the life of Jesus. Jesus said, I know we got possessions, but people are more important than possessions. People are more important than power. People are more important than pleasure. And because of that, he kept his eye on the goal.
Thanks for joining us today. For more podcasts and other ministry resources from Cheryl Brady Ministries, visit our website at cherylbrady.com. Also, join us Sundays at the Potter's House, North Dallas, at 9 and 11:30 a.m. Thank you to all of our partners who make resources like this available.